top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Friday, September 23rd, 2016. And as I said before, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And so let's continue from the first hour. The phone lines are open. I'll open up the phone lines at the outset of the first hour today, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I want to just continue with the stories that you can find on the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page, and we'll kind of continue from there. The next fun story, and hopefully the first two make sense. The next story, published in Computer World, over at computerworld.com. Yahoo reportedly to confirm massive data breach. Yahoo is reportedly preparing to confirm a data breach that affects hundreds of millions of accounts. Think about it. Hundreds of millions of accounts. Hundreds of millions. The immediate concern in that story is when one considers the fact that these big companies, in their terms of use or terms of service, all maintain the right, almost without exception, to cross-sell some of your data, some of your information. So because of that, there is a commingling of information across and combining of information across databases. And that raises significant concerns. If you will recall, back in 2011, C-SPAN televised and aired the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum hosted by Media Bistro. And during that forum, Andrew Rajay had some very interesting remarks. And he referred to a paper by Paul Ohm, University of Colorado Law School professor. The paper, published back in 2009, titled Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. We have been led to believe that as long as we can redact or withhold our personally identifiable information, our PII as it's known, things like your name, social security number, date of birth, those kinds of things. And by the way, remember back in the FDR era when your social security number was not – it was specifically stated that it was not going to be used as a way to identify you? So much for that. And the same thing was happening in Nazi Germany with the help of IBM, but I digress. So we've been led to believe erroneously that as long as your personally identifiable information is not included with the rest of your data, then you can maintain some degree of anonymity. And nothing could be further from the truth, as Paul Ohm proved in his paper with numerous big examples and how ironic now that AOL was one of the one of the examples that Paul Ohm leaned on. Now Yahoo is saying that at least 500 million accounts were hacked in 2014. Oops, sorry, your data is compromised. And by the way, that information is out in all of these other cross-pollinated databases. So from Paul Ohm's paper, real quick, the abstract: computer scientists have recently undermined our faith in the privacy-protecting power of anonymization, the name for techniques for protecting the privacy of individuals in large databases by deleting information like names and social security numbers. These scientists have demonstrated they can often re-identify or de-anonymize individuals hidden in anonymized data with astonishing ease. By understanding this research, we will realize we have made a mistake, labored beneath a fundamental misunderstanding which has assured us much less privacy than we have assumed, or been led to believe, I would say. This mistake pervades nearly every information privacy law, regulation, and debate, yet regulators and legal scholars have paid it scant attention. We must respond to the surprising failure of anonymization, and this article provides the tools to do so. So, think HIPAA, for example. All of the information that goes in, and that gets to other discussions like VeriChip and VeriChip buying SteelVault and creating Positive ID, for example, back in 2009, we'll put your credit information, your health information on one chip. How fun is that? And remember, speaking of that, remember the story, the writer's story I always mention back in, 2010? 2009, I think, late 2009. June was the big H1N1 scare, right? And then by September, I want to say. Yeah. The Reuters story, Monday, September 21st, 2009, VeriChip shares jump after H1N1 patent license win. So June was the big H1N1 scare, really. And then by September, this story in Reuters, VeriChip shares jump after H1N1 patent license when shares of VeriChip Corp tripled after the company said it had been granted an exclusive license to two patents which will help it develop implantable virus detection systems in humans. The patents held by VeriChip partner Receptors LLC relate to biosensors that can detect the H1N1 and other viruses, a biological threat, and biological threats such as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, VeriChip said in a statement. So this gets back, obviously, to the other story, too. The UN story, global leaders commit to act on antimicrobial resistance. VeriChip already has the technology patented, mind you, for developing implantable virus detection systems in humans, as the story goes. Do they spend millions of dollars on that technology and the patents for nothing? This was back in 2009, remember. And so in May and June, there was the scare. And by September, not only does VeriChip have the technology, but they have the patent. Does that sound odd to anyone else? So anyway, think about that and all the information that would go on a chip that Positive ID manufacturers, the company, which was the new and improved giant from the Steel Vault acquisition by Verichip. So, speaking of Andrew Rajet and his remarks at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum, I want to return to those remarks. Let's go back to those real quick and hear those remarks from Andrew Rajet himself. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
Entrepreneur Andrew Rajet.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to start this morning by telling you a story about an information artist that I saw speak 3 years ago at a conference called PopTech. His name was Hassan Alahi, and he had a very interesting story to tell because as he was in his work as an artist, he would travel the world, and it just so happened that he moved out of a storage facility in Florida on September 12, 2001, and left on an extended trip across the planet, showing his work. And when he came back into the country, as a matter of fact, through Detroit, he was stopped at the immigration desk, asked if he would told to go down to a interrogation room, and discovered very quickly that the FBI wanted to question him about the contents of his locker because the people who owned the storage facility claimed that he had stored explosives in his locker, and because he was Arab, looked Arab, that they suspected that he was a terrorist. So he turned white and got very scared, went into survival mode, told him as much as he could, explained that he had no connection to any explosives, explained his history, where he traveled, answered all the questions about where he was going. But the FBI wasn't completely satisfied. In fact, they kept reminding him along the way that they could throw him into Guantanamo and put him into limbo if he didn't cooperate. Eventually, they let him go. And when they did, they said, well, we're going to be following you. We're going to keep track of you, and you should just be aware that you're on our watch list. So when he got home in shock and worry, he decided that he was going to do something about it because he just couldn't imagine not going back to the life that he had before this happened. So he invented a little ankle bracelet that would identify where his location is all the time and post it on a Google map. He started time-stamping his life. Every meal, every booking, every phone conversation, every single step of his life, he photographed and recorded, and then he sent it to the FBI. He did this for about 6 months, and inundated them with more and more photographs, more and more information about where he was going, who he was speaking with, who he was talking to, all of the recordings of his phone calls, everything. And eventually, after 6 months, the FBI said, stop. Because he realized something that was really important, and he saved himself. Because what he did was, he, in a market where information is the currency, if he floods the market, he can devalue the currency. Now, I'm not a privacy expert. I actually was very interested in speaking here because at the same time that the invitation came, the WikiLeaks saga started to unfold. And I'm sure all of you have been following it in its various turns. But as it relates to this particular event, what struck me as particularly interesting is the recent decision by Twitter when the government asked them for information about the WikiLeaks account, decided to fight the secrecy order and succeeded and informed the owners of that account that they were being investigated so that the owners of that account could take steps to fight the subpoena. And until I heard that story, I didn't really think about is Twitter's behavior different than Google's behavior, or is Google's behavior different than Facebook's behavior? So I started doing some more research on the subject and started asking myself some questions. And some of the questions are actually questions that I'd like to ask you. So how many of you have read an entire terms of service from beginning to end before And do you do it each time you sign up for a new service? Not a single hand raised. Okay, just making that out. How many times have you seen lines at a toll station at the Lincoln Tunnel or George Washington Bridge, and you see people going through the Easy Pass, and you see all these other people in cars, and some of them very nice cars, not paying by Easy Pass, but paying cash. And you're kind of wondering, why aren't those people signing up for Easy Pass? I mean, it's so convenient. They're obviously not destitute. They're driving Mercedes-Benzes and Lexuses. I heard an interview with a number of people like that, and they said, well, we don't want the government to track us. Yet they're sitting in their cars on their cell phones, and they take a picture of their license plates when they go through the toll plaza. Many of you may not know this. I didn't know this until I did this research. If you use Google Books, it keeps track of your IP address the entire time you're logged into Gmail, and it can keep track of exactly the pages you've read. The Amazon Kindle does this too. It will also keep track of what books were purchased. But those two companies will not inform you if a law enforcement organization contacts them and asks them for that information. Facebook constantly changes its privacy policies. Is anyone here can actually recite Facebook's privacy policies or know what they currently are? Every time we connect with Facebook Connect to make it easier to log in, our universal login, we do so because of convenience, but we don't realize what we're giving up in the process. Recently, the Supreme Court ruled 5-2 that the police can search your phone if they stop you and find it on your person without warrant and without cause. And if they rifle through your emails, your tweets, your photographs, they're very likely to find some form of illegal behavior, an errant photograph, a comment about a transfer of some funds. You know, I never thought that I was actually, you know, I've always heard this thought that if you're driving in New York, you're always doing something illegal because there's just no way you're going to be right in the middle of the lane. And I didn't realize how much I was doing something illegal until I was in an accident a couple of years ago where I was loading my car from the passenger side on the street side of the car after doing some shopping, and a car that was driving by sideswiped my door and took my door off with him. Fortunately, I wasn't hurt. And I thought, this is an open and shut case. You know, I was parked, of course. I was going to get my insurance company to pay me. Well, I found out that there's actually a law that you're not allowed to load your car from the street side. You're only allowed to get in it as quickly as possible. So you should think twice about what you may have on your iPhone or your BlackBerry when you're traveling anywhere. If you keep it in a concealed bag, then the police need a warrant to be able to search it. And also, if you keep it encrypted, if you put a password on it, then you're protected not by they are not protected by the Fourth Amendment to be able to search you. You're protected by the First Amendment about not incriminating yourself, and you're not required to give them your passcode. But most people don't even think about these issues and don't really think about the impact of their lives as they click and link for convenience. Another important aspect of this, and those of you who are marketers know about this, is remarketing. How many times have you been on a website, looked at a pair of shoes or looked at a product, and then went off the site, went someplace else, and all of a sudden there pops up that pair of shoes?
Favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches, when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up.
I want to get to his remarks about the study, Broken Promises of Privacy. We're getting into that, and then we'll move on. The phone lines are open. We'll go to the phones after this. Apparently, Joe, we missed you. Apologize for that. Feel free to call back, but we'll go to the phones after this, the wrapping up of this clip. So go ahead with that, please.
Again, chasing after you.
Well, there's a number of companies, Rapleaf is one of them, that are doing massive amounts of data collection and are repackaging that data and selling it in the hopes of generating huge amounts of profits and creating convenience for you and for their customers. But personally identifiable information being stripped is a fallacy. I would highly recommend that you look up a University of Colorado professor by the name of Paul Ohm, H-O-H-M, who wrote a seminal piece about the fallacy of an anonymization and the database of ruin, where he points out that even though 87% of Americans don't have the same zip code, birth date, and sex, if you then add information about how they rated movies or what movies they rented on Netflix, 80% of the time the individual can be identified. The more databases are marked, the more re-identification is possible. And the more databases are merged, the stronger they become. And with each succeeding piece of information, more matches provide more clues to identity. Regulation can protect privacy only at great cost, because utility and privacy of data are intrinsically connected. No regulation can increase data privacy without also decreasing data utility. And as the utility of data increases, privacy decreases. To increase privacy means a reduction in values like innovation, free speech, and security. Privacy and security, in fact, are two completely different things. And sometimes all this data can be used for good. Google does searches now, allowing people to be able to sense when flu epidemics might be starting. And we all love the convenience of having our basic information available when we visit a website. But every time we do, we give something up. Now, I want to digress here for a second just to talk a little bit back, go back to talk about WikiLeaks just for a moment. You know, I don't know how many of you know who Bradley Manning is? So Bradley Manning, for those of you who didn't raise your hands, is the gentleman who is charged with the crime of leaking the 250,000 cables to WikiLeaks, and also a previous video of two Reuters reporters being killed by a helicopter gunship that was shown on ABC television, that was the first major WikiLeaks release. What many people don't know is that the reason why Bradley Manning did that act was that he was charged with reviewing the security of individuals who were arrested in Iraq for protesting and for trying to undermine the government of Iraq. And as he was reviewing their file, these 15 or so supposed insurgents, he discovered that what they were doing was actually leafleting on the street asking for more government transparency. And when he realized that they were really just freedom fighters for democracy and not insurgents trying to take the government down, he went to his superior and said, "These people really shouldn't be in jail."
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Attention CPAP users. Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train. Invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's nomask.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Welcome back. Once again, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. You heard as we went through the progression from the story over at Computer World about the Yahoo incident. Yahoo saying at least 500 million accounts hacked in 2014. And the headline over at Computer World, Yahoo reportedly to confirm massive data breach. That's pretty massive. This is the norm. This is the growing norm. And people are becoming less and less concerned, it seems. So with what you heard Andrew Rajay talking about at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum, and you can look that up on C-SPAN, was the concern we should all have. You know, databases being combined and recombined, which de-anonymize, you know, the database of absolute destruction, the Borg, the hive mind, you know, with all of this remarketing of data, you can imagine, just think about it in simple terms, the combining and commingling and coagulation of data to eventually have one data set that you don't need personally identifiable information. And then that really is kind of what the Facebook data set represents, because it's very comprehensive and they've been most effective at getting users to provide their real identity. Only better, perhaps, is in terms of a social platform, is perhaps LinkedIn. So to think that all of the data that has been provided to Yahoo in a certain capacity could be compromised, up to 500 million accounts, or excuse me, at least 500 million accounts, is a frightening prospect. And then you think again about all the combining of data. So you heard Andrew Rajay mention Paul Ohm's paper, Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. And again, as I mentioned previously, Paul Ohm proved in that paper with three very shocking examples that this concept of anonymization is a fallacy, as Andrew Rajay said. And again, that's a scary prospect, because we rely on the concept of a certain level of anonymity on the web. And as Andrew Rajay pointed out, few people even bother with reading the terms of service or terms of use, let alone are intimately familiar with that information. So the examples, and Yahoo would probably be on this list now too, the AOL data release and Netflix were two big ones. And so again, when we think of HIPAA, it's frightening to think that that information could be compromised as well. Just one example. Well, I should probably use the Netflix example, but I'll use the AOL example. On August 3rd, 2006, America Online announced a new initiative called AOL Research to embrace the vision of an open research community. And haven't we heard much about open data in recent years? And big data. AOL Research publicly posted to a website 20 million search queries for 650,000 users of AOL's search engine, summarizing 3 months of activity. Researchers of internet behavior rejoiced to receive this treasure trove of information, the kind of information that it usually treated by that is usually treated by search engines as a closely guarded secret. The euphoria was short-lived, however, as AOL and the rest of the world soon learned that search engine queries are windows to the soul. Before releasing the data to the public, AOL had tried to anonymize it to protect privacy, obviously. It suppressed any obviously identifying information such as AOL username and IP address in the released data. In order to preserve the usefulness of the data for research, however, it replaced these identifiers with unique identification numbers that allowed researchers to correlate different searches to individual users. In the days following the release, bloggers poured through the data, spotlighting repeatedly the nature and extent of the privacy breach. These bloggers chased two different prizes, either attempting to identify users or hunting for particularly entertaining or shocking search histories. Thanks to this blogging and subsequent news reporting, certain user identification numbers have become sad little badges of infamy associated with pitiful or chilling stories. While most of the blogosphere quickly and roundly condemned AOL, a few bloggers argued that the released data, while titillating, did not violate privacy because nobody had linked actual individuals with their anonymized queries. This argument was quickly silenced by New York Times reporters Michael Barbaro and Tom Zeller, who recognized clues to user 441-7749's identity in queries, such as landscapers in Lilbum, Georgia. Several people with the last name Arnold and homes sold in Shadow Lake Subdivision, Gwinnett County, Georgia. They quickly tracked down Thelma Arnold, a 62-year-old widow from Lilburn, Georgia, who acknowledged that she had authored the searches, including some mildly embarrassing queries such as numb fingers, 60 single gentlemen, and dog that urinates on everything. The fallout was swift and crushing. AOL fired the researcher who released the data and also his supervisor. And on the story goes. So that was not even scientific, and the fallacy of anonymization was patently self-evident. And next up, Zip Sex and Birth Date. You heard Andrew Agee mention that story. 87% of us are anonymous with just those three pieces of information. Zip, gender, and while most of us don't maintain the same, we don't have the same, 87% of us don't have the same zip code, gender, and date of birth. If you add the Netflix information, just your Netflix searches, then suddenly you become 80% identifiable. It's an inversion almost immediately. And that gets to Andrew Agee's point about utility, as he said, and privacy being, as I would say, inversely proportionate. The more useful the information is, or the more utility, the less privacy and the less private. So the Netflix example, on October 2nd, 2006, about 2 months after the AOL debacle, Netflix, the world's largest online movie rental service, publicly released 100 million records revealing how nearly a half a million of its users had rated movies from December 1999 to December 2005. In each record, Netflix disclosed the movie rated, the rating assigned, and the date of the rating. Like AOL, Netflix first anonymized the records, removing identifying information like usernames, but assigning a unique user identifier to preserve rating-to-rating continuity. Thus, researchers could tell that user 1337 had rated Gattaca a 4 on March 3, 2003, and Minority Report a 5 on November 10, 2003. Unlike AOL, Netflix had a specific profit motive for releasing these records. Netflix thrives by being able to make accurate movie recommendations. If Netflix knows, for example, that people who like Gattaca will also like the Lives of Others, it can make recommendations that keep its customers coming back to the website. To improve its recommendations, Netflix released 100 million records to launch what it called the Netflix Prize, a prize that took almost 3 years to claim. The first team that used the data to significantly improve on Netflix recommendation algorithm would win $1 million. As with the AOL release, researchers have failed the Netflix Prize data release as have hailed the Netflix Prize data release as a great boon for research, and many have used the competition to refine or develop important statistical theories. 2 weeks after the data release, researchers from the University of Texas announced that an attacker who knows only a little bit about an individual subscriber can easily identify the subscriber's record if it is present in the Netflix Prize data set, or at the very least identify a small set of records which include the subscriber's record. In other words, it is surprisingly easy to re-identify people in the database and thus discover all the movies they have rated with only a little outside knowledge about the movie watching preferences. The resulting research paper is brimming with startling examples of the ease with which someone could re-identify people in the database and has been celebrated and cited as surprising and novel to computer scientists. If an adversary, the term used by a computer scientist, knows the precise ratings of a person in the database has assigned to six obscure movies and nothing else, he will be able to identify that person 84% of the time. If he knows approximately when a person in the database has rated six movies, whether or not they are obscure, he can identify the person 99% of the time. Think about that. In fact, knowing when ratings were assigned turns out to be so powerful that knowing only two movies a rating user has viewed, and an adversary can re-identify 68% of the users. To summarize, the next time your dinner party host asks you to list your six favorite obscure movies, unless you want everybody at the table to know every movie you have ever rated on Netflix, say nothing at all. To turn these abstract results into concrete examples, the researchers compared the Netflix rating data to similar data from the internet. the Internet Movie Database, that is IMDb. And unlike Netflix, IMDb posts these ratings publicly on its website, as Amazon does with user-submitted book ratings. Researchers obtained ratings for 50 IMDb users. From this tiny example, they found two users who were identifiable to a statistical near certainty in the Netflix database. Because neither database comprised a perfect subset of the other, one could learn things from Netflix unknowable only from IMDb and vice versa. And so the story goes. You can see how the combining of data and re-identification or de-anonymization works in simple terms. But these are things that we don't think about nor discuss, and we are led to believe in error that the fallacy of anonymization is a real thing, as long as you don't provide personally identifiable information. But that is just simply not the case. So hopefully that makes sense too. And back to the stories on Road Warrior Radio, the Facebook page. The story in the Wall Street Journal: EU failed to cut off illegal subsidies to Airbus, World Trade Organization, WTO rules. The World Trade Organization on Thursday said the European Union had failed to eliminate illegal subsidies to Airbus Group SE in a multi-billion dollar protracted trade dispute. And that's again just another illustration of the World Trade Organization being the global organization that will save us all. And is it any surprise the EU failed to cut off illegal subsidies? Anyway, New York Times published a story, ex-Cuomo aides charged in federal corruption inquiry. That's interesting. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So anybody looking at Andrew Cuomo, the Keith Lamont Scott story, that's interesting. And the chief says that no definitive evidence that Scott pointed a gun at cops. That was the police chief himself saying that. But I mentioned from the Charlotte Observer the headline, "Calm in Uptown Charlotte Thursday after second night of violent police protests, curfew being considered." What is the net result in that incident? And it's absurd. When you look at the story and the way that the mainstream corporate media has latched onto it, it's pretty self-evident what's happening there. But what is the net result or effect of virtually all of these incidents? Exactly what happened. Hundreds of National Guard and Highway Patrol in Charlotte will aid CMPD after the second night of violent police protests. That's what more police state encroachment and overreach, virtually without exception. And that is terribly unfortunate. And while Police Chief Kurt Putney said that he didn't see any evidence that Scott pointed a gun at officers, he also said that the shooting video won't be made available to the public, probably indefinitely. So that's interesting too. Anyway, we'll go to the phones right after this short break. Stick around, back for the last segment right after the short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I'm excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's biting and biting and riding on his horse.
welcome back. We are having some fun, some technical difficulties. Jim, I apologize. Joe, I apologize. There was a breakdown in communication somewhere, and so apologize for the delay in getting to you both and not getting to you, actually. That's an unfortunate way to go into the weekend, but it appears the way we will have to go into the weekend. Anyway, final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, September 23rd, 2016. And to kind of conclude, just getting back to that original story back in Politico, most of the things that you see on the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page reflect the same sentiment. And what is that? As I mentioned, you know, the story, House panel votes to hold Clinton tech aide Brian Pagliano in contempt. What is happening there is illustrative of what is happening beyond. This subtle and implicit vilification of the individual, or really not even that, kind of the evisceration and the obfuscating and the occluding of the individual, and the lifting up of the state and the collective. So the individual is being silenced and done away with in an effort to celebrate the collective, and that is unfortunate. The last story I'll mention to that end is Columbia Gorge Water Draws protest even after it's voted down. The story about Nestle trying to bottle water, another water bottling plant from Nestle, and that's a long and sordid tale, obviously. But this just goes back to the evidence. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.